This is Dan Sullivan commenting on the end of Ada's first monologue in Exodus, the fifth book of Barbara Kingsolver's The Poisonwood Bible. I chose this passage because I was interested by Ada's discussion that her knack for scientific reasoning was in a large way supplemented by her polar views on love and hate, brought about largely by her mother's perceived betrayal as she's left for dead as they are escaping from the ants set upon destroying the village of Kalanga. It's impressive that she can take an event that she describes as the end of her childhood and the beginning of her long march toward the grave, seemingly echoing her mother's description of her long fall down the precipice, and spin it in a positive light. Without this event, she would most likely not be able to see things as so easily divided, and her concept of truth, certainly in terms of science, would not have shaped itself so readily. She notes that such a life is satisfying and deeply uncomplicated, and we, the reader, can tell that she takes some solace in this worldview, as it allows her to skirt the issue of uncertainty in her life and gives weight to a process that, through experimentation, renders statements as definitively true or false. This is clearly a very different mindset from one that places much faith in religion, as it oftentimes encourages interpretation and may leave itself open to several different readings depending on one's perspectives and experience. Even more interesting is what happens when her mother chooses to save Ada in her flight from Africa. Ada wonders whether this decision would have occurred if Ruth May was still alive, as she speculates, was I the booby prize? Does she look at me and despise her loss? Am I alive only because Ruth May is dead? What truth can I possibly tell? This raises both the question of, is it okay for me to be second place, and furthermore, can I blame myself for seemingly ill-gotten gains that have come about due to another's suffering, even if that suffering is due to no fault of my own? It's important to note that even though Ada may only be second in her mother's eye, she's still the one chosen to be saved, over Leia and Rachel. Furthermore, this allows Orleana to help Ada without necessarily hurting her sisters, as Rachel has Axelrod and Leia has Anatole. She should be thankful for the fact that her mother is recognizing her need and finding a way to meet them, rather than the fact that in another situation, one in which Ruth May was still lived, those needs might not be met. The concept of Ada's accidental exodus creates a striking parallel with Nathan's survival of the war, noted nicely by Kingsolver's shift toward his military documents and the medals he received. As Ada digs through Nathan's past, we realize his medal is not one for bravery in the war, but rather for having been injured and surviving, when all of his comrades have passed away in a somewhat horrific manner. Both Ada and Nathan seem somewhat plagued by the knowledge that their survival was sheer accident and circumstance, and in any number of other scenarios, they would not have lived. These ill-gotten gains are seemingly suspect in a number of ways, and Nathan ultimately finds himself plagued by what he believes was a lack of courage on his part, that he is forever making up for in front of his family and the people of Kalanga. By never forgiving himself, he effectively prevents God from forgiving him as well, as Christianity requires both penance and acceptance of one's own flaws, a concept that seems entirely alien to Nathan's perception of the world. As a result, he finds himself forever playing the role of the martyr as he tries in vain to pay off the debts he believes are owed to those who died in his place. Ada, however, seems to finally have accepted the need to live for herself upon returning to America, and rather than allow herself to be plagued by her mother's madness, she's set out on her own for the first time so as to cast off the ties to those who have helped her throughout her suffering, brought about primarily by her birth defect, which again is something that she had no control over. This gives her some peace and allows her to create a life for herself in which she is able to finally find some use for her talents. Ada's remark, Carius, Farius, Marius, Barius, those are our four ways to Exodus for now, is particularly notable since it seems to indicate that none of the daughters Price are capable of freeing themselves from the chains placed upon them by their father and their life in Africa. Ada relies on her mother, Rachel on Eben Axelrod, and Leia on Anatole to find new ways in which to carve out their existences. Only Ruth May, in dying, is able to escape on her own, and that's not exactly an appealing alternative. We wonder whether Ada's attempts at setting out on her own at home are in fact doomed to fail, as she has separated herself from any who might help, with the exception, of course, of the dean who guides her in finding financial aid and admission. Finally, I wanted to comment on the last two sentences of the passage. She would drag me out of Africa if it was her last living act as a mother. I think probably it was. Having lost Ruth May, Orleana needs to find someone for whom she can help so as to feel worthwhile, and the choice obviously falls to Ada, always the crippled and seemingly lesser of the twins, and of course the next youngest of the daughters. Africa has provided Orleana more so than Georgia ever would the need for her daughters to turn to their mother for support. Feeling most useful when she is in aiding them, this last act as a mother can be perceived as both selfish and selfless, as it provides Orleana this last chance to believe that her daughters need her to live, while at the same time separating her from Rachel and Leah and providing Ada finally with the means to help herself.